Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith, joined by Derek Terry. Derek, we officially have the predicted order of finish in the SEC, and we officially have the preseason all-SEC teams.
We do, and I don't know if I'm going to pat myself on the back. I don't know if I'll phrase it that way, but if you guys listened to yesterday's episode, the way that I picked the Eastern Division and the Western Division, I was only off on one team, or one spot, I guess you could say. That was I picked Arkansas last and Mississippi State sixth. That was flipped in the official poll. But the reason you guys are listening and wanting to hear this is because Kentucky was picked third. The high, according to Corey Price on Twitter, who is I don't know if you call him historian or what he is, Sean, what he calls himself, stats guy. I don't know what it is, but he found out that this was the highest UK has ever been picked preseason in the SEC East since the conference went to the division format in 1992. So I knew it had been a while since they had been picked that high. As it turns out, they'd never been picked that high. So I knew it had been a little while. So Sean, your initial reactions to that, I know you had UK second, but probably in your heart, you figured it would be third or fourth. So just kind of how do you feel about where UK was selected?
Yeah, I have no problem with it, honestly. And you're getting to a point now that I think Mark Stoops and the program is going to have to find a new card to kind of throw out every offseason that they're not being disrespected. Because honestly, I think given the question marks, I respected them a lot, putting them second. And I think the overall media, this is to me, Derek, it just shows you what Mark Stoops has built in a program. That you, even though with the question mark at quarterback, new offensive coordinator, they still expect Kentucky to be good in these areas that they've been really good in. And I think that that's what has led to them being projected to pick third or finish third in the SEC East after losing to Missouri last year. I know Missouri's a team that's been getting a lot of love in the media. And obviously we've talked about the importance of that game, but I just think that that shows a level of respect that when you do what Mark Stoops has done the last 5 years, and you heard Drinkwitz talk about it yesterday, most consistent coach behind Nick Saban in the SEC. And I think that shows now in the preseason bout.
For sure. I tweeted earlier that you could view it as some level of respect, but also, like I said, like given how much of a cluster it was at Tennessee last year, given that South Carolina had a tough year, made a coaching change, and then, of course, Vanderbilt, I mean, I think we all understand kind of Vanderbilt's spot in the league at this point. It would have been pretty stunning to see UK any lower than fourth. But I pointed out that the last time that the SEC actually held that event in Hoover, SEC Media Days in 2019, UK was picked sixth, and that was coming off a 10-3 year. I understand that some other programs were in better shape. You know, Tennessee was going into year two under Pruitt. South Carolina had been a bowl team the year before in 2018. So, like, you can somewhat get it, but wouldn't you agree, Sean, that the reason UK is picked sixth is because there was a lack of faith across the media that UK would be able to replace all of its production the following year? So I think this year, you know, they just went 5-6. You get some teams in the league that just aren't in a very good spot. But it wouldn't have been surprising to me to see Missouri get picked third over UK, given what we know. So I do think somewhat, I'm not trying to, you know, make this some kind of huge takeaway, because maybe it's not, but I do think in some regards, it says something about how this program has changed a little bit in terms of how it is viewed by the league media.
Absolutely. Spot on. I think that what they've shown the last couple of years is they could replace all-stars. They could replace difference makers in their program, the Josh Allens, the Benny Snells, the Lynn Bowdens. Even though that those guys have gone on, Derek, they've still shown the ability to win games, win bowl games, and beat good teams and be competitive. I know that the program had its moments last year where the Alabama game looked awful, the Florida game didn't look good. But you and we talked about it back then, like, I was worried about where the program was going to go. And then they come out and they close the regular season, they win a bowl game, and then they have all this momentum through the transfer portal. And now here they find themselves voted third in the preseason poll, which tells you, I don't think they're far off from a preseason number two selection. If they have a really good year and show that they're continuing to climb, what is the ceiling for this program? But obviously, it's to win the SEC East, right? That's what the fan base wants. And they did receive two votes. I voted them second. I would love to know who picked Kentucky to win the East. I will tell you this. It was none of us in UK media that was there. And the only people that could vote were the people that were approved for credentials to SEC Media Day from like the local schools like us. So it wasn't a UK media homer. So who was it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gone around and asked everybody who was there covering UK who they voted for.
There's no way it was anybody there. I don't see it. We all know too much about it, in my opinion, to just go out and throw that. Because anybody putting them ahead of Georgia, it's crazy right now. Could it happen? Yeah, but to put them ahead of Georgia, I just think it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who would have done it though. You know, if it wasn't someone who didn't cover UK, I'm not going to throw any names out here on this podcast. But yeah, SEC West, no surprise, Alabama picked as the SEC West champion, the overall winner. I was joined by 44 other people. I want to say Georgia had 45 picks to win the overall SEC championship, but I think, 84 or something like that voted for Alabama. A safe pick, no doubt about it. More years than not, it'll be proven to be the correct pick. So certainly no disagreement there for me. I mean, I guess technically there is a disagreement for me because I picked Georgia, but it's obviously not a silly prediction by any means to go with Alabama. As we expect the two, Sean, five guys were added to the All-SEC preseason teams. Darian Kennard, first team selection. On the second team was Josh Pascal. And then three guys made the third team. Yusuf Corker, defensive back. Luke Fortner, who I did not have on my list, but congrats to Luke. Had a great career at UK, and he's going to get recognized. So I'm happy for him. And then the other guy, Chris Rodriguez, the running back. Any thoughts that maybe Rodriguez should have been higher?
No. I'm okay with that.
Good guys ahead of him. I mean, he had
– Yeah. I'm okay with that.
I'm a little surprised Tank Bigsby was first team, though. I would have thought Kevin Harris after the year he had.
That's who I had.
Yeah.
And just going off the list here, just looking to see if there's any more surprises. I'm very happy for Luke Fortner, Derek. Mm-hmm. I'm super happy for him. He wasn't a guy that I had on my ballot. He was obviously there as a pick. Are there any surprises to you with Kentucky? So both guys that attended for Kentucky, you mentioned this the other day, if you're in attendance at SEC Media Day, it usually means that you're probably going to get a spot on those preseason teams. So Pascal and Kennard both are there. Any surprises to you maybe outside of Kentucky that you see other than maybe Harris at running back?
Not super stunned. I mean, you're not seeing – I'm scrolling up and down this list. Like, you're not really seeing transfers on this list. So that's, you know, I think by the end of the year, Wandell Robinson has a great chance to land on the postseason all SEC team. But as I scroll this list, I'm actually not seeing anybody that in terms of coming into this year. You see some guys, you know, who transferred last year, Cade Mays, JT Daniels, guys like that who transferred to their schools in 2020 have played, but I don't, now that I look at this list, I mean, this was a heavy list of guys who had played in the Southeastern Conference last year. Yeah. So I don't have a problem with that either, though. I mean, these are guys who have spent the time in the league. They have earned their reputation and have been selected. So no disagreements, I guess, there for me. But I do think in terms of making an all-around impact, like I think Wandell Robinson will end up on one of these lists for sure by the end of the season.
Yeah, and just going back to Kentucky being picked to win the SEC East, I don't want to come out and sound like I don't think it could be done. Obviously, I think that it's something that this program continues to build toward, Derek, but my thought process was this. I put them second because they have been there before. You know, they've finished in that spot in the SEC East. I'm not going to put them somewhere until they get there. Like, if they get to Atlanta, then in future years I'll be like, all right, this is a team that I think they've shown me they can do this. It's the same reason I went with Alabama to win the league over Georgia. In that game against that opponent, I'm always going to roll with Alabama until Georgia shows me something. So the only thing that I have a problem with, I mean, it's everybody's personal thing, but some of these teams that are picked to win the league, like what? The fact I don't understand. Like, I just don't understand. Like, please tell me how South Carolina has a vote to win the league. I mean, almost to the point that I think we should make these ballots public.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, if we make them public, I'm gonna be a little bit more detailed in my selections of the All-SEC teams. Now, Adam Luckett, I'm a big fan of Adam over at KSR and his writing. He absolutely hates the voting process for the players. Yeah. He thinks there are several players. He doesn't like how it's broken down by some of the positions, because the offensive line is just all thrown together, guards and tackles, and it's hard to just select eight out of that. And then you get some players who were all conference at their other schools, who aren't even on the ballot to get selected here. So it's definitely an imperfect way to select these teams. But I do agree. I think it's more than fair that in terms of ranking the teams, I wouldn't have any problem at all. I mean, hell, I wrote a story on it. We talked about it yesterday. Like, I have no problem telling people who I voted for in what order. So I do agree with that it would probably make sense to display that. And you probably would get fewer guys, unless someone, or fewer guys or women too, fewer people who – we'll select a team like UK or South Carolina just kind of for fun, because I don't think anyone probably really believes that, to be honest.
So, so Ole Miss got a vote, A&M got a vote, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina.
I think A&M and Florida are perfectly reasonable.
They are.
If you're a believer that you think A&M's going to win the West, then yeah, you certainly think they'll have a great chance to win the overall league. Florida is they were just in the SEC championship game last year. They have to replace a lot, but it's a national championship winning program. Like, I don't think there's anything crazy about that.
No, they're not. And
but Kentucky and South Carolina, like, I mean, there's a better chance that South Carolina finishes last than finishes first.
Were you surprised at all in the discrepancy with Alabama 84, Georgia 45, given the talent that Georgia has? Or is that back?
How many guys down there that cover this event are from Alabama? I mean, it's held in that state.
That's true.
I feel like probably a lot of guys who cover Alabama or Auburn are there. So I am a little surprised that it was that big of a gap. But obviously not surprised that Alabama won. Selected as the winner.
And just because I have Alabama as my overall SEC champion over Georgia doesn't mean that I think that it's going to be a blowout. Like, I think that those two teams would play a very good, very competitive game. Both teams have a chance to win. I'm just going on in that matchup, in that big game, Alabama has delivered and Georgia has not against that opponent. That's all I'm going off of. Probably the same argument could be made when we're talking Kentucky, Florida, right? You're always probably going to pick Florida to win, just given the history of that series and how it always comes down to Kentucky kind of, you know, giving a game away or something. I'm a big believer, Derek, and you got to show me something really for me to actually believe in you to do it. And I'm obviously, this is the second time I've put Kentucky number two in the SEC East. At some point when they break through, if they get to Atlanta, that's when I start becoming more comfortable. Think, okay, this program's done it one time. I might, hey, when they're loaded up with a bunch of returners, I might say, hey, this is the year that they do it again. But right now, I think third is a very fair spot for this team to be going into this season. And I think they have potential to outperform it, but I also want to say this, they could perform right on it. And if one thing goes the other way, they could underperform too. I think that's a fair way to put it. Third is exactly accurate, in my opinion.
That's a good point you brought up about seeing it happen before, because I can remember when I would pick Kentucky in the preseason prior to 2018, I certainly would go nowhere higher than eight. And a lot of years I wouldn't even pick higher than seven, because they hadn't won that many games in over 30 years. And now that they had a season 2 years ago, that they won 10 games, and you realize how they did that, like, they had special talent in terms of, you know, generational really type players, and Josh Allen and Benny Snell, two of the greatest players in school history. So you certainly have to have that. But like, I think across the board, this team might not have the same kind of high end top 10 draft pick type guys, at least that we know about right now. But I think across the board, the way UK's recruited in recent years, you would think the roster could be even better.
Yeah.
Than what it was in 2018. So I have no problem these days saying, yeah, I think Kentucky could certainly get to eight or nine wins. things go their way. Whereas a few years ago, prior to them actually breaking through and doing that, it was much harder to pick them to do things like that.
Yeah. You feel better this year sitting here saying we're talking about them being an 8-4 team at worst. Some of us are. And a few years ago, 8 wins in a regular season was the best regular season in years and decades. Mm-hmm. So it's completely different. And that's what I keep talking about, where you're doing these little steps. And I think Mark Stoops, he knew that changing this program, Derek, was going to be baby steps. It was going to be a small step here, a small step this season. And this is a program that right now, I mean, they continue to take steps. Like, even though that they haven't played the season yet, they took a step in Hoover by getting voted third in the preseason poll. That's a step, because you're gaining respect. So now we see what they do with it. But we just wanted to hop on and record a short episode, just kind of recapping everything. We talked about our ballots, and then we decided to, you know, come on here and talk about the overall SEC ballots. Mississippi State picked 7th in the West. How crazy is it when you go off FPI? You talked about this on our FPI episode, how the ESPN FPI loves Mississippi State, but the media hates Mississippi State.
I don't know what to make of it, honestly. I don't know what to think about those guys.
And I had them 7th. The only thing that I was off on in the West is I had Arkansas and Auburn flipped. I had Arkansas 5, Auburn 6th. So everything was right from my ballot to that, except for that one. I was off on the East, obviously, because I had Kentucky 2 and then Tennessee behind South Carolina. But the good news is, Derek, preseason ballots are preseason ballots. Mm-hmm. Now we get to actually watch football, and it's all chaos. Everyone is in control of their own destiny to see what happens, and we will be right here to cover all of that. But what you're going to get today is you're getting this episode, and then we were recording 2 separate mailbags, a football mailbag only with a couple of other questions. I know there's some volleyball questions in there too that we're going to get to in that episode. And then we have a basketball only mailbag episode as well. So a lot of content coming your way from Kentucky Daily. Thank you all so much for continuing to download and listen to the show. We are charting. I don't think, Derek, we've been outside of 200 in the charts in over 30 days, which is an incredible thing in the off season.
Yeah, you and I were discussing this over text last night. Without getting too specific on the kind of numbers we do here, almost half of our downloads have been since basketball season ended, which shows really incredible growth, in my opinion, for when we started this almost a year ago. We're coming up on 1 year, and I've probably never been more excited about the direction that we're going, the new listeners that we've picked up, but also guys who message us and tell us, you know, they've been listening since we started this thing. To those of you who were listening to the first episode and still listening now, you're the reason that we do this. We hope that we're part of your day in some capacity, whether you get excited to hear us talk about UK, whether there's some kind of comfort in your routine, whatever it is. I know we're both very thankful that you choose to listen to us.
Yeah, beyond thankful and grateful for this podcast and how we started it from the ground up and what it continues to go to. A huge shout out to Blue Wire too. This episode is powered by Blue Wire Pods, and also a huge shout out to the Butcher's Pub, 3 locations, Pineville, Williamsburg, London, Kentucky. You can visit thebutcherspub.com or check them out on Facebook. Stick around. He's Derek Terry. I'm Sean Smith. We'll be back with more on Kentucky Daily.